My name is Pastor Kyle Blake. I am the pastor at the Gathering Lutheran Church in downtown Long Beach. We're a sister church of Bethany Lutheran. I know a lot of you guys have seen me around, and some of you might have seen me during the week, and you're like, why is this guy here, right? Well, my wife teaches kindergarten, right? I have a kindergartner here, and I have a preschooler here at Bethany, right? And so I guess that's why Kevin wrote me in to come in and preach it. I don't know, right? And I don't know about you, but this morning as I listened to 1 Thessalonians and Paul talk about always be joyful, whatever happens, give thanks, I thought to myself, Paul must have never had kids. I mean, Paul must have never gotten kids ready and dressed for church on a Sunday morning and then tried to make sure they were fairly well behaved during the service, right? I mean, the struggle is real, amen? Now, since this is National Lutheran Schools Sunday, I want to see that if you've actually been paying attention in the service thus far, and so there is a pop quiz. Don't worry, I have a hug for those who have the correct answers. I'm going to throw candy in your church, Kevin. I'm just going to let you know that right now. This goes back to youth ministry days. I got to warm up the arm, right? And I have a hug for those who may not get the right answers when I answer. But there's a lot of y'all and only one of me. And so I'm going to ask you remember the class and actually raise your hand if you know the answer, okay? Can we do that? So how many of you paid attention during the Bible Project video on joy earlier in the service? Okay, well, that's not a question on the quiz, but hopefully you all paid attention. Because the quiz is going to deal with that, right? Everybody's like, should I raise my hand now? Do I keep it down? What do I do here? All right. So, the video mentioned some sources of joy mentioned. There were some sources of joy mentioned in the video. What were a couple? Yeah. What's that?
Greek.
Greek? Yeah. Oh, that's where the word comes from, right? Right. What are the sources of joy that were mentioned that are talked about in the Greek and Hebrew Bible? All right, so the beginning now is, what happened in the beginning? Yeah, that's right. In the beginning, God made the sea and the, yeah, right? So creation, right? Nature. Nature is a source of joy, right? What was another one in that list? Oh, back there, yeah. Perfume, absolutely. All right, here we go. You ready? I don't got a great arm, so boys, you might have to help her, all right? Not trying to hit anybody in the face. Oh, see, yeah. My kid's playing baseball, but somebody else is going to teach him how to throw. All right. One more. Yeah. The good news. Very good. Yeah, absolutely. All right, there we go. Hey, you know, a couple other things they talked about is they talked about nature. They talked about wedding. They talked about a bottle of wine, children, perfume, good friends. Are those some things that bring you joy? This is yes. This is no. This is I'm sleeping during the sermon already, right? Think about it. What else brings you joy? Now, the video talked about the fact that throughout human history, that it hasn't necessarily been a total joy fest. And we live in a world corrupted by our own sin and selfishness. And what were maybe a couple things that the video talked about steals joy? You got one back there? What? Real loud. Sin? Very good. All right, here we go. Ready? Whoa. Oh, I should have called bank shot. All right. There were a couple of things. One, let's see. Anybody else know? From the balcony. Oh, we got one back here. Yeah. Death. Very good. Death. I'm not going to, like, bean you. Tammy's already, like, leaning over to the side, right? There we go. All right. Yeah, So some of the things that it talked about that steals and robs our joy were death and loss, other people's selfish actions. The video creators go on to say that joy is an attitude of God's that God's people adopt, not because of our current circumstances, but because of our hope in God's love and promises. It's in choosing joy and to be joyful in spite of our current circumstances because of the promises of what's to come. It went on to give a couple biblical examples of what that looks like. Do you remember those biblical examples? Anyone? Bueller. Talking about the fact of the children of Israel that when they were set free from Egypt and yet they were rejoicing, yet they were still in the desert. Talking about how when people came and oppressed the children of Israel, they still rejoiced because they knew that God was with them and he was going to send one to be born. send one to be born. Here's a question. They also talked about the significance of someone's message when Jesus was born. Whose message? You guys need to pay attention. Come on now. Hark the herald sing, right? Joy to the world, the Lord is born. I'm done giving out candy. Come on. We have to roll the video again here in a second. I tell you what, right? But then Jesus calls a group of people to joy in the midst of facing rejection and persecution. His followers, you and I. And then he sends us out into the world to proclaim his kingdom. All right, true or false? Ready? It's like, I don't know about this essay stuff, Pastor. Can we just do true or false? True or false? Because of our belief that Jesus' love overcame death itself, we can have joy in the midst of hardships. Everyone? True. All right, good. True or false? We shouldn't deny or suppress our sorrow, but we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us choose to trust Jesus in the midst and know that he's with us. True. True or false? Christian joy is a profound decision of faith and hope in the power of Jesus' own life and love. And that it's that's what biblical joy is all about. True. All right. This is, yes. Right. Very good. You all passed. We're about grace here, so it's all good, right? We grade on a curve. Now I am very tempted actually to just say, hey, let's roll that tape again, right? And then actually have Pat come out and give the children's message again and be like, amen, and I'm out, you know? And I know some of you would probably be very joyful that I did that, right? However, I'm not going to do that this morning. Because really, I've been wrestling with how Paul applies this joy today. I mean, it's one thing to hear about the children of Israel or how Paul applied it then, and it's easy to hear how we should choose joy in the most troubling circumstances, especially when you stub your toe and blood's everywhere, right? But what does it actually look like in life? I mean, don't raise your hands, by the way. I'm asking more questions, right? But how many of you are experiencing things right now that seem to be robbing you of joy? Your job, a relationship, troubles with your kids, your neighborhood, a recent diagnosis, a recent loss, or a ton of other things. Now, I wasn't planning on getting emotional, sorry. Some of you know and are aware of things that my family has been through over the past year and a half. Most of you probably aren't, unless you're on face crack with me or something, you know, and then you've seen what's going on. But my therapist has advised me not to go into all the details because it's like hitting somebody over the head with an emotional bat. Right, but if you really must know, I'm happy to tell you after the service. And yes, I did say therapist. I'm actually wearing a shirt underneath this. If you can see, it says, you can have Jesus and a therapist too. So it's all good, right? But let's just say we've been through a lot. We've had losses of a couple family members. I've lost a close friend and a coworker. We've had family struggles. There's been community struggles. We've had... Marriage struggles as a result of all the other struggles that are going on, and a whole lot of other things along the way. I have to be honest. There were days I didn't want to choose joy. There were days I just wanted to sit in my pain. There were days I wanted to give up and be done. There were days I felt that nobody liked me, everybody hated me, and I just should go eat some worms. Have you ever been there? So how do we get through it? Honestly, we're still in process today. But yet the question remains, how do we choose joy in the midst of the struggles each and every day? And I believe it was because, and it still is, because of two reasons. Christ and his church. You see, I've come to realize that we live in a world and culture where you're defined by what you do, by what you have. Think about it. We're always trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? Society and culture really awards like really good, hard work, and whether it be at school or at home or at work, and there's nothing wrong with good, hard work. There's nothing wrong with doing your absolute best. in everything we do. We're actually called to do that, but it shouldn't define who we are. You see, we live in a world that's selfish and broken, a world that's here today and gone tomorrow. And if we're honest, well, we're selfish and broken as well. Amen? I think it's easy for us to buy into the lie that we should find our value and worth in what we do for work or in some earthly relationship or the possessions that we have or whatever, because we have this desire. We have this desire to be loved and to be valued. It's like this basic human desire that we're born with. We long for connection, and our entire life we look for it. And Satan likes to come through and toss out lies and go, well, what about this? How about that? Oh, this is a good one. And he only offers us this earthly stuff. Stuff that just doesn't satisfy at the end of the day. Because it's truly here today and gone tomorrow. So when life seems to spiral out of control, when things don't go as planned, we start to feel and become worthless. I have to be honest that as we went through the stuff over the last year and a half, and as I've gone through stuff over my life, there are times that I felt like I didn't add any value. Like I was no good because I couldn't help out somebody else because of the stuff going on in my own life. And when you don't feel valuable, it's kind of hard to choose joy, isn't it? When you feel like the world is crumbling around you, when you're emotionally empty, it's hard to give something that you don't have, isn't it? Yet over and over, I'm constantly reminded that God, through Christ Jesus, comes to us in the midst of our struggles and our emptiness. He doesn't come to us because we did something well, because we're good, because we're emotionally healthy, because we're theologically solid, or because of any other particular reason. He comes to us simply because he loves us. Let me ask this question. Is God's love conditional or unconditional? Unconditional. And how does God show his love for us? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, Christ died for all of us while we were still sinners. This demonstrates God's love for us. As Pat said this morning in his children's message, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, he came to us and said, you're mine. If you read through scriptures, Jesus loved some of the worst, right? People with past, people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. You see, Jesus didn't die for perfect people. And I think we've already established that none of us are perfect, are we? You see, even in the midst of our brokenness and pain, Jesus comes to us and says, I value you, I love you, you are mine. This happens right here at our baptism, where God literally puts his name on us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, adopts us into his family, forgives us all of our sins, and assures us of our salvation. He says, I'm going to be with you always. It happens every time we open the Word of God and we read and we discuss it. It happens every time that we confess our sins and hear God's forgiveness. It happens every time we come to the rail and kneel and receive Christ's true body and true blood in, with, and under the bread and wine. We Lutherans like to call that the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament, and it constantly reminds us whose we are. It constantly reminds us that when Jesus sees us, he says to us, as is found in Isaiah 43, you are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you. It gives us hope and confidence that in the midst of our struggles, Jesus is with us. Of all the things that could seemingly rob us of joy, Jesus is present with us, and he constantly reminds us, but my son, this isn't who you are. I define who you are. And I believe you to be precious and honored, and I love you. Now let me be very clear. He does care about what we go through. As the video said, we don't deny the suffering that we go through. And he wants us to learn to find healing from those things in him and through him. And it's a process. I wish I could say that when I finally found the words to ask for help, when I finally remembered whose I was in Christ Jesus and put away the lie that my value is found in things of this world, all the pain went away. It didn't. I can't speak for you, but for me, it's easy to forget the truth. It's easy to slip back into the lies. And when I do, it's easy to want to go into isolation and just be by myself. And even really when I don't want to or need to be with others, it's just easy to push everybody else away. Sure, I show up to church every Sunday. I mean, I'm a pastor after all. I kind of have to, right? But it's very easy to put on a mask and make everyone think that everything's is just unicorns and rainbows. Yet being connected to Christ's people, being connected to the folks at the gathering downtown and Bethany Church and school, I have experienced Christ's presence and been reminded his truth over and over again. You see, in the verses immediately preceding the text this morning, Paul says, "We encourage you, brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not living right, to cheer up those who are discouraged, to help the weak and be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one ever pays back one wrong with another one. Instead, always try to do good for what is good for each other and everyone else." In the gospel text this morning, Jesus says, "Love each other as I have loved you." You see, as Christians, we're called to live out what we experience in Christ with those around us, starting right here in this place. And then extending out to where we live, learn, labor, and laugh. You see, I can tell you that I've experienced Christ's love in this place and through you people. Whether it be a phone call, a Facebook message, a text, a tweet, a meal, to know that in the midst of the struggle, I'm not alone. And I thank you. You see, my wife's experienced the same as well as my son through being a part of the staff at this school. I praise God for Bethany Lutheran School for what it's done for my family and how it's walked alongside this last year especially. At Bethany, we have been blessed. How many of you can say the same? I want to close this morning with a couple things. First of all, I have yet to meet a mind reader at Bethany. And I know that some of you are on social media a lot. But I've yet to meet anyone who reads every single post all the time. And so it's really easy to go, "Well, that's good for you, Pastor, but no one ever has been there for me when I've gone through it. So-and-so didn't come to visit me or call me or when I was sick and hurting." And my question to you is, did they know? Did they know? Kevin came and visited me on January 2nd when I went to the hospital. Thought I was having a heart attack, anxiety attack. It happens with all the stuff that you go through, right? It just happens. He would have never known I was there unless I'm like, "Kendall, call Kevin." And the second thing is this. I've met some really great people here at Bethany, but I can honestly say that I've never met a perfect person. That the person right next to you, they don't have it all together. No matter what you might see or perceive. And sometimes, stuff in their life can go really wrong as well. You see, the church is called to be a hospital for the sick and the dying, but too often we live like we're in this facade, like we got it all together, when the reality is you don't and I don't. Let's just be honest, right? And sometimes we have a bad experience with a person or two, folks here, or at any other Christian church for that matter. And you got to know that because we're broken, sinful people, we make mistakes. And though you might have run into somebody that you're like, "Well, I don't like what they said or did to me, so I'm just going to stop going to church." Well, know that they're not representative of Christ in his church. In fact, when I slip up, and I often do, my wife's not here. I'm very thankful for that right now. She'll be here in a later service, right? But if you need to know, right? And I joke sometimes that when I slip up, I literally turn to my friends. I go, if you're counting hypocrite points, that's one. You see, there are no perfect people. And we all go through some really hard stuff at times. Yet in the midst of it, Christ comes to us and reminds us that our identity is not found in things in this world or our circumstances, but in Him alone. He reminds us that we are loved and valued so much so that He died for us. He reminds us of that through His church, through His means of grace, and in prayer, that He is with us always. And it's only through this and by the power of His Spirit that we're enabled to be joyful and give thanks no matter what happens. Amen? Amen.